Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 31. What to do when you have a horrible, no good, very bad, dreadful race? Okay, I admit that's a bit of an extreme description, but some of you may have had a race like that. The good news is that you've had so many more invigorating, mind-blowing runs that evoke the kind of endorphin high that lingers long after you cool down, and the memory of that feeling is what will be pulling you out the door to do runs for years to come as your brain seeks repeat performances. Thank goodness. But on the flip side, the memory of those few really bad runs will still be there, reminders of how bad it can be. But thankfully, those are few and far between, if you train properly. But what if you do train properly and things go awry due to factors beyond your control? That certainly can and sometimes does happen. Of all the people I talk to and communicate with, I'd say the worst race experiences usually occur when it's unseasonably hot on race day. One of my listeners lives where the temperature is usually quite reasonable at this time of year, but she did a 10K recently, and the temperatures were sweltering, much, much hotter than normal for this time of year. And she had not been training in those temperatures because that was much hotter than it had been, and much hotter than was typical. That happens sometimes. That's what happened in Boston this year. They realized a few days in advance that it would be sizzling on race day, far hotter than normal in Boston for that time of year. Now think about this. That race attracts the best and fittest runners from around the world, and the race organization is world-class, just like the participants. You know they have the best medical advisors, and you know that as much as they wanted a great race, even more important was that they wanted a safe race. For that reason, officials actually discouraged people from running if they were not prepared to run a marathon in that kind of heat. The race went on, but with thousands fewer runners, as many opted to accept the offer to defer until next year, when it is assumed that it'll be cooler. Everyone reported an extremely difficult race, not surprisingly, and very slow times. It was a whole different experience, even for those very fit runners, than a typical Boston Marathon. That kind of heat is more than unpleasant. It's downright dangerous for the unprepared, and it will always have a huge impact on performance. Of course, the longer the race, the greater the impact. If you know you'll be running or racing in a hot race, you can gradually acclimate yourself to it. But you may have to travel to Florida or some similar climate to do that, which is usually out of the question, and you'd have to know ahead of time that the race would be that hot. Here in Florida, summer temperatures normally get into the upper 80s, and by normally I mean pretty much every day, and we usually have about 80% humidity. Yet we do train year-round. We can do that because the hotter temperatures of summer are not sudden in any way. It heats up more and more from March through about mid-July, and it doesn't cool off again until the end of September. We have plenty of time to get accustomed to it. Well, as accustomed to it as is possible. It's still extremely taxing on the body, as it works extra hard to maintain a reasonable core temperature. We devote much time to determining what our bodies need in the way of fluids and electrolyte replacement. That's extremely individual, too, as sweat rates vary widely, the content of each person's sweat varies, and heat tolerance can differ considerably from person to person. I've blogged and podcasted about techniques for training in hot weather, so I won't go into those here. But the key word is training. If you do not have the benefit of gradually adjusting to those temperatures, your race experience may be miserable and could be dangerous. Depending on the length of the race, most people can tough it out for a 5K or a 10K, but a half or a full is different. Still, it's all relative to the individual. A 10K or half marathon can be much more difficult for a new runner than an ultramarathon for a veteran. In a situation like that, I think it's perfectly reasonable to decide to skip the race. Defer to the following year if the race director allows it, but if not, your decision should be purely based on whether or not you think you can have a safe race and whether or not you think it's worth experiencing the inevitable discomfort. Think of it this way. It'll be an entirely different race from the one you registered for. So there you have your first option. Skip the race. Your second option is to do everything you can to prepare in the short time you have after learning of the expected weather. This means hydrating more the day before the race and changing your hydration plans for race day. Of course, you never want to experiment on race day, but if it is hotter than expected, you will by necessity have to adjust accordingly. The heat can make for a miserable race, but that's not even the main issue. The main issue is your health and safety on race day. So let's say you decide to do the race. Then I think it's imperative for you to accept, going into it, that you might need to stop if it gets too bad. You should make it a part of the plan that you'll continually reevaluate your situation and stop if needed. This is called a DNF, did not finish. Those are the letters that would appear next to your name in the results. Does that freak you out? As a coach, I think it's part of running that you have to be willing to live with a DNF if it needs to happen, and it will eventually. Now, many longtime runners will tell you proudly, "I've never DNF'd." Well, I'm not sure that's a good thing, because if at any time their health was at issue because of an injury or weather issues, then it would be much wiser to DNF than risk injury or worse. What if you don't know how your body will handle the heat because you've never been able to run in those conditions before? Well, then it's your call whether to do it. But accept that if you think running a race in those temperatures will be hard, you're probably putting a rosy picture on the prospects. It likely will be much more difficult than you imagine. I'm just saying that from experience of working with many different levels of runners during the summer heat. Even runners very acclimated to the heat will struggle when they try to race in those temperatures. That's why a check of the Florida racing calendar will reveal very few races during the summer and nothing longer than a 5K. Definitely no half marathons or marathons. If you do race, and it's a horrible, miserable, no good, awful, dreadful experience, it's key to put that into perspective. Among other things, you've just experienced what it's like to do a race you were not prepared for. It's not your fault you were not prepared, but still, that's the case. Your time will always be slower, and the heat will affect some people much more than others. So your friend, who's usually the same speed as you, may beat you by a minute or two or more if your body is more affected by the heat. That'll be discouraging, but it's a fact that some people are much more sensitive to the heat than others. Part of it is that some people's bodies are able to cool down more efficiently. Some people sweat more. And there are other factors as well that, not having a medical background, I can't really explain. Should you feel bad if you decide to DNF? Heck no. You should never feel bad about a DNF. I know some people will. They will think it means they're quitters. Are you kidding? Come on. Running is an individual sport. Over and over, you accomplish feats that most of the population will never do. They won't even try. Think about it. It's not like you're born with a special gift that makes you a runner. They could run too, if they were willing to put in the training, but they don't have the guts you have. They aren't willing to work as hard as you do. So if you decide to DNF ever, for any reason, don't torment over your decision. All you can ever do is make the best decision for you at that moment. You run because you want to. You choose to. And if at any time you want to cease to participate in a race, give yourself permission to do it. The fact is that you will be disappointed. Disappointed that you didn't finish. Disappointed that you didn't reach your goal. Disappointed that it didn't go as planned. I know you won't do this without careful consideration. Have you ever heard a kid say, "You're not the boss of me"? Well, no one is the boss of you when it comes to running. You get to make the decision. We learn much from ourselves and our running experiences. There's actually something to be gained from quitting and being okay with your decision. My experience is that very few people will ever DNF without a good reason. What worries me most is when people continue to run when they are injured or in danger due to heat illness or dehydration. If you can pinpoint the reason for your bad race, it's much easier to cope. But at the moment of the dreadful experience, it's always rough, no matter what, because we love to run. We pursue the adventure of a race. We register, we plunk down our money, and we pin on that number with the expectation of finishing with endorphins, satisfaction, and a smile. Yet, I would say virtually every runner will, at times, find themselves saying, "Why do I do this? Did I pay good money for this? I must be crazy. No, I'm definitely crazy." And occasionally they will say, "I'll never race again. That's it. I'm done." I'd say that's the measure of the worst run or the worst race. If you're brought to that point, it's a differentiator of that run from all the races of the past and all your races of the future. But take heart. If that has happened to you, you probably changed your mind a few hours later or a few days later. You may worry terribly that you'll never want to race again. But remember, we all have selective memories. 35 years ago, when I was in labor with Wendy, I was pretty sure I'd never have another child. I think lots of mothers come to that decision during childbirth. But before long, the memory of the pain of childbirth was pushed aside, crowded out by delightful memories that I was making every day I spent with Wendy. Thank goodness, or I would never have had Benjamin. So if you've had a run that was so bad that you said, "I'll never do this again," just give it time. Remember that everything, every experience in life is measured by other experiences, and so it is with running. If you think you've had a great race before, in light of the really bad experience you've just had, imagine how great you'll feel the next time you have an outstanding one. We can only define highs by lows, good by bad, outstanding by dreadful. Now you'll have a whole new appreciation for the feeling of a good race, and you'll be more prepared for any other bad ones and all the infinitely variable experiences you'll have in between. Consider that when you finish a really bad race, you have a whole different kind of satisfaction, and even that's good in a way. It builds character and it defines who you are. Finishing a dreadful race is its own kind of special achievement, regardless of time. The memory will fade. Look back on it as an adventure, one you didn't seek, but an experience that in its own way will make you a better runner. With time, you'll be able to put that race into the appropriate perspective and realize you may never, no matter how long you run, have an experience like that again. That's all for today. As always, I'd appreciate your going to my podcast on iTunes and leaving a rating. All you have to do is click a number of stars. When you're on the podcast page, you'll need to scroll up to where it's underneath the list of podcasts, and then you just click on a star. You can also leave a comment. Of course, I love it when you do that. If you have a question you'd like answered in this podcast, please go to the Mojo for Running Facebook page and ask it there. It was actually an email question from a listener that inspired this particular podcast. And by the way, Michelle, congratulations. She persevered in that very, very hot race and finished. If you go to the Mojo for Running page, I hope you'll like it. Now, as I publish this episode, it's the end of June 2012. I'll be running in the Napa to Sonoma Wine Country Half on July 15th, just a few weeks away. Let me know if you'll be there. Maybe a group of us can get together. I don't know how that race will go, because I've been rehabbing a knee injury for 3 weeks, the first knee injury I have ever had in 35 years of running. That's right. Not a good way to prepare for a race, but I'll try to be smart and follow the doctor and physical therapist's orders. It's killing me, not the pain, because it doesn't hurt at all now, but the not running part. I apparently injured it when I stepped in a hole while jogging across a field to catch up with a friend after a race. The grass was extra tall, and I just didn't even see the hole. So for 3 weeks, I've been riding my bike with my marathon and half training group. Anyway, I will be in Napa, and I should be good for race day. It'll be interesting to see how this unexpected 3-week layoff affects me. If I'm not 100% by then, it'll be a beautiful training run. But I know from experience that sometimes great races come at the most unexpected times. So I'll keep an open mind and wait to see what happens. I hear they serve wine at the last aid station of that race. My friend Kurt did it last year, and he suggests the white wine be paired with vanilla goo, so I won't miss the opportunity to give that a try. And now today's quote. Racing teaches us to challenge ourselves. It teaches us to push beyond where we thought we could go. It helps us to find out what we are made of. This is what we do. This is what it's all about. Patty Sue Plummer, U.S. Olympian.